you as it takes you eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share.
It is the Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. We're talking about who does Black Lives Matter to? Now, I know we talked about this a couple of times, and we spin the bottle, kick the can, and we did a whole bunch of stuff. But we need to really get down to the nitty-gritty of who does Black Lives Matter to. Without further ado, I have your host, Mr. Marvell Wilson, and his counterpart, Mr. Mark Stevens, right here on the Blog Talk Station. Hey, what's going on, Marvell?
Hey, good morning, Brother Mark.
Mark.
Good morning, Tim.
Very nice.
It's good to have this trio back in order. For a while, we were concerned about whether or not we were getting some airtime opportunity because suspicious behavior was taking place. But I guess you just relent and you just stay focused and just stay consistent, and something's going to happen. And in this case, we're back on point with this particular network. So I'm glad to be able to report that. How you guys doing today?
Doing good.
And you, Tim?
Oh man, I'm blessed, man. I woke up this morning, man. I can't even say anything but be blessed, man. You know, I'm moving both my feet, got both my hands moving. I didn't wake up said ooh, ow, and ouch. I slid right out that bed in a good mood. And, yeah, I'm feeling great.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, for your profile, you see, I was talking to my sister earlier about a friend of hers that was, her mother was in a car crash. Her mother is 84, will be 85 soon, was driving, was in a car crash. The car was totaled, but she was unharmed. But now she's demonstrating some, you know, some offspring behavior. You know, she's sort of like on the verge of being, you know, with the Alzheimer's and that kind of thing. where she's forgetful and repeats herself and all that. And the girl seems irritated that she had to witness her mom go through this. And all I could think about was, where's your gratitude? You know, where's your gratitude? Because whatever she's doing now, if she hadn't survived, you would wish that she was here doing. So the same premise here, man, it's like, I know your profile, a lot of people don't have those near-death experiences or have that trauma that's so deep that makes them stop and recognize just how blessed they are to be current and present. And you are one of them brothers that you keep, you know, you keep that spirit of life alive with yourself and people around you because of your past experience. And I think you recognize that it was only by the grace of God that you're still here. And I feel the
same way.
And I think Brother Mark can attest to the same thing, that our gratitude is because we have a background to look back and say, dang, boy, look, whatever you're going to do now, it ain't nothing compared to where you came from. Nothing comparable. So I appreciate you saying that, you know, and then I want to identify and clarify with people who are listening, because you hear that a lot. Well, I'm blessed because I woke up. Well, some people are really, really grateful for waking up because they almost didn't get a chance to wake up, you know, by volunteer behavior like me or just by chance, but like you, you know. So I want to clarify that when you hear us say we're grateful, it's because we know where we were. And we know where we are, and we like where we are now.
It's true. We put these bodies through a great deal of turmoil, mentally, physically, and emotionally, that we did to ourselves in the past. But I'm thankful that I know better now, so I can do better. And that's why we're on the air trying to reach these young folks so they could escape some of that trauma. They don't have to go through it. They don't have to put their parents through it, the families through it. Because we have to understand something. Whatever we go through, whoever loves us go through it with us. But we don't recognize it at the time. And that's why Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely.
Hey, so watch this. Last night in the Youth Healing Circle was a powerful moment, whereas I haven't been in there for a minute. I've been doing other things. But I was in there long enough to listen to the illustration that Brother Mac had for the youth, right? And like I tell folks, man, when you're talking to our young folks, you got to include them. You can't have a set agenda and stick to the agenda without knowing who's in the room and how they're feeling in the room. And so after about 30 minutes, I sat there and I seen Dante put his head down. I seen Darius playing in his phone. I seen Jordan with his earphones on. I seen Adrian with his headphones on. Only one was paying attention was DeAndre and about three others, right? And so I just sat there for a minute to see if Brother Mac would catch on to what's going on. And so he didn't. And so I had to speak up. I said, hey, Dante, what did you hear in the last hour from Brother Mac? He said, a bunch of words. I said, ooh, Lord, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's
I didn't even continue with asking the rest of the youth. What I did is I said, Brother Mac, what do you feel you taught these youth in all that you said? He sat there for a minute and he thought. And he said, really, I really don't know what they received, but I'm trying to speak on anger management. I said, well, how much of that you spoke in the last hour do you think they received, though? He said, well, I don't know. So I said, well, watch this. Darius, what did you receive out of all that Mr. Mac has spoken on? I'm like Dante. I just heard a lot of words. I said, okay. So I went around the room, and not one of the youth could recite anything that he said, and I wasn't trying to show him out or show, you know, make him feel no type of way, but I want people to know if you're going to be in front of our young folks, you have to make sure that you engage with them and they engage with you, or you're just wasting your time and their time. And so as I stood there, I had a couple of friends that showed up, and one of them brung his nieces and nephews, and so he sat down, and so I asked him, I said, and what did you get, sir, out of what Mr. Mack was talking about? He said, well, I know he was talking about anger management, and I know he was talking about triggers, and I know he was talking about, but in all, I really didn't get where he was going. I said, okay, now this is a teaching moment for you, Brother Mack. I said, now this is our last session with our kids on this anger management. And if we do a recap on what you have spoke on, I guarantee that if you had a test for these young folks to do a written test, that they probably would fail. I said, and that's how it is in real life with our young folks. We're not talking to them. We're talking at them. We're not uplifting them. We're really just doing what we need to do to get what we need. And, hey, if the youth get anything out of it, okay, but I got to get this so I can turn this in because I need to show that I was teaching but not reaching. Ooh, we did I just say that?
Yeah, you did. And that's how it happened. Yeah.
And it's something when you are teaching but not reaching. And that's what's happening in the black community. That's why I played that, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud, because at a time, everybody was on one accord, and they were speaking this and putting their hand up, saying, right on, brother and sister. And so when I say, who does Black Lives Matter to, Black Lives matters to us all. But do we work, uplift the Black lives that matter? I don't think so. I think when we was talking about Kwanzaa yesterday and we was talking about unity and we was talking about a portion of unity, because to be unified is what we're looking to do. Unity is just a word right now, because Sally and Jesse Moe don't even get along no more, and it's about Sally cooked the greens and was supposed to cook the cabbage. And so now I'm mad because she ain't cooked what I wanted, and I'm pouting, my face is all mad, and I'm carrying this on, and it's some small, minute stuff that keeps the black family from advancing. And with that, I'll pass the mic.
Mark.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm hoping you can roll in on that, because I have a picture to paint that I was sitting there thinking about the matter, and I have a picture to paint, but if you don't mind, I'd like to hear you share on what your perspective is on this.
Well, it's just like Brother Tim just said, you know, we have people at each other's throats behind little stuff, and we're not looking at we're missing the big picture, because we have to understand that it was set up this way for us to be at each other's throat behind little things, behind what you got and what I don't have, and why you could get it and I can't get it, instead of being patient and waiting your turn and working together and sharing what you do have with someone that don't have, because it's possible that they have something that you need. And if you share it, then that'll open up their heart, then they'll be willing to give. And like I said, we just got to get back to love, man. It's got to become one big love fest, because that's what we used to have. We got to get past our feelings, our emotions about little stuff that don't even matter, about man-made stuff. See, man can't make love. He think he can, but he can't make love. Love is already in you. It's something you got to give. And when you give, then another person give, then it combines, then it's made. And that's why I like when Brother Tim said, you know, Unity is just a word. But we got to put action to that word, bring it together, that black cohesion. It's going to work. It's going to happen. You know, that's one thing I like. And, you know, it's something, man, how they say a fool could teach you something. And I'm not calling the man a fool, but he put that word in my heart, and it's just been sitting there just you know, it keeps coming up, black cohesion. And that's what we need. We need that stickability so we could stand tall and be strong and be seen and be heard, because that's what we got to do. We stand together, man. We're going to be heard. And, you know, I hear Tim always talk about Donald Trump. And I shared some with him today. One thing Donald Trump showed us is what they do to us, how they do it, and why he ain't bothered about it. So, anyway, I hope you're ready to do what you got to do, Brother Mark.
That's well put. So I'm gonna take it from a broad spectrum and propose this. We are like our brother Shaka say we're not African Americans. We're American born Africans, right? So where we came from. Africa, it's a continent with many countries and with beauty everywhere, but we don't hear much about the beauty. And the only tourism that we hear about is when they touring, looking at the pyramids and the Sphinx and that kind of stuff, old artifacts that survived through time. They don't talk about the Nile River. They don't talk about, you know, some of the places where it's a utopia. They don't talk about that because they're not marketing Africa as being a place to visit. They're marketing Africa for being what it is, a place of resource, right? So let's look at it like this. Africa itself is not a concern for people in this country or people who have the overview to call a shot or to make something, or declare what something is. It's a resource, right? And so are the African people. They are a resource. So all we are the shells that hold the resource, right? So Africa itself is not a big deal, but the resources are the big deal. So Africans in this country are not the big deal. They're our resource. Is the big deal. So who does Black Lives Matter to? Those who can draw from its resource. And how do you continue to draw from a resource? Is you keep on keeping that resource shell thinking that they ain't got nothing valuable while you constantly using the resource like they do in Africa. 300,000 Britons controlled South Africa and all of its reserves for years and years, for decades. Only 300,000 Britons controlled all of the resources in Africa. That's how they got all the diamonds. That's how they got all the gold. That's how they got all of the valuable resources in Africa, because they came over there with the guns and they made it look like they do in the penitentiary. It could be 1,500 inmates and 150 guards, but let something happen and then it looks like it's 1,500 guards and 150 inmates, because they all pile in to make it look like they got numbers and they come ready to issue force. So that's how they control Africa and its resources. But Africa itself is not even recognized. It's the resources. So I'm saying to you that right now, Black lives don't matter. Far as our shells don't matter. Our resources do. And now we're looking at each other the same way. When we see each other, we don't look beyond the appearance of the shell. We don't recognize that the resource is where our power is. And so we look at each other the same way we're being looked at, and the same way Africa is looked at, as the arbiter and the shell that has the resource. And the shell don't mean nothing. Like when you peel a shrimp, you get a shrimp, you peel off the shell, right, before you eat the shrimp. And the shell gets discarded. So we are our shells are discarded as being valuable, but our resources are necessary for everything. I'm looking at these inventions, and I'm saying if it wasn't for these inventions, we wouldn't be a civilization. But black folks invented them, but their resource created it, and then they marketed it, and so the shell that harbored the resource was insignificant. They didn't get no money. They might have get a little something, but they didn't get the royalties. They didn't get the empire that was built behind it. It was like used to enhance and to grow somebody else's empire, because looking at us, you only see the shell of a human being. You only see the shell. We're only seen as the shell. That's why I think when we say black power or Black Lives Matter, to a degree, only to a degree, not the equity and fullness that other cultures are recognized with. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. I totally agree with you. You know, and as you were saying that, you know, what they show and all that, the part of our history that's really missing is the togetherness, how tribes work together, what made up a tribe, and then how these tribes work together with one another, because all tribes did not war with each other. We came together as one in certain instances. We had celebrations. We did a lot of things, you know, over there. But all they show is they want to show the humiliation that has been placed upon the Africans for what they did to them, because they want to make it a third world country. But Africa was a thriving country. They were living. Just like all other countries, those people were living before those intruders got there and robbed them of their resources, then sold it back to them. See, they made people poor. And in doing so, it did something to our mind. When they robbed our resources out the earth, they robbed our resources in our mind. You know, we no longer think for ourselves. We think the way they taught us to think now. So it's all about a dog eat dog, and we got to come away from that.
So, Brother Marvell, we have another listener from the 513 on the line. Would like to give them a moment to say hello to the world and to the panel.
No.
Hello?
I am currently driving. Prefer to just listen in. It's LaFaria again.
Sounds good. Glad to have you aboard. Just want to recognize those that are on the call. What I want to say is that Black Lives Matter to me. When I asked the question, who does Black Lives Matter to, I'm hoping that everyone says Black Lives Matter to me. Now, I'm not talking about the movement that, you know, come and go when Pookie and them get shot. I'm not talking about the movement when there's a grant out and we trying to corner a dollar, but we don't put the dollar where it's needed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about who does Black Lives Matter to? And when I ask that, I ask, does it really matter to you? What are you doing that shows it matters to you? I'm looking for work. I'm looking for workers to illustrate what Black lives consist of and need to consist of is Black love. Black love. I need to see more Black love in our brothers and sisters instead of all this hatred, all this backstabbing, all of this criticism. You know, I now. Constructive criticism is a different from criticism. And if you're constructing as you criticize, then it's done in a fashion where one either receives it in joy for you acknowledging them in the work they're doing or the things they're doing, and see where you can smooth out the rough edges. That's constructive criticism, right? But these days, it's just criticizing, belittling your brother and sister.
Johnny Moe just opened up the donut shop. Who he think he is? Them donuts ain't no good. I'm going to go to Krispy Kreme. That Krispy Kreme might cost a dollar more, but I'm going to go spend my money over there because Johnny Moe ain't got the ingredients right. Instead of going in there and say, Johnny Moe, listen, I need you to research what ingredients you really need to have in here, because you undercutting yourself and you got a product that nobody really wants. So if you're going to have this stove here, Johnny Moe, I think you need to research on how to make a good donut, you know. And then, Johnny Moe, I need you, you know, to have more patience with your customers, you know. Don't snap at your customers, Johnny Moe, because customer service is a key. It's a key, and you need to, you know, be hospitable. You know, that's constructive criticism. Now, what ain't constructive criticism is when you go out in the town and you tell everybody that Johnny Moe don't know what he's doing. Oh, man, he need to close that shop down. But you ain't talked to Johnny Moe. Black lives matter to me, man. I serve the community in love. I serve our youth in love. When me and Brother Marvell go to these schools, we talk to these young folks right where they at, not trying to get them where we want them to be at, because it takes a moment for them to digest the information that is given to them to move forward. And so black lives should matter to every black person. You know, some people say, well, I ain't black. Well, what is you? You know, we done went from Negroes, colored, niggas, African-Americans, jigaboos, geechies. Come on, man. I was raised in Louisiana. I know about the geechie, you see. And so what I want you to know, man, black lives matter to those who believe in black, who believe in the black power. It matters to them, but it's not enough of them around. We done been undercut so long that we undercutting each other. We done been fake, fugazi so long that's the fake is the new real. Oh, man, I'm going to get off this mic. Go on, Marvell.
Yeah, so listen to me when I say that when we look at each other, that potential for the look of discreditation and disdain has to do likely with not having an acknowledgement of their own personal power and not being able to recognize that if you look at somebody that looks like you and you don't have an affinity for them, you don't feel relative to them, then don't say you love yourself. Examine and re-examine what you really think and feel about yourself, because our experiences are so much alike. We have so much kinship in experience. If I've never seen you before, I can tell. If I look at you, I can tell. See, we have people that are raised in the affluent neighborhoods, black people who are raised, and they don't experience the things, or maybe they do, but only sparsely. They might get stopped by the police, you know, and get a little roused by the police and be like, he didn't know who my people were or whatever, but he might have a minor experience, but we have major experiences of our blackness in this country that makes us have a kinship. And if we don't stop and recognize our kinships and recognize our relativity when we look at each other, then some reexamination is probably necessary for each of us. Because I used to do the same thing. You know, I would weigh somebody by how they dressed or how they, what kind of outward charisma they had. But I failed to realize that no matter what the external looks like. The true value is in the internal, because there's a spirit and there's a resource there that is unlike anybody else on this earth. And that's what I get to. So now the question is, can you look at a brother or look at a person that you know is black and look beyond them for what they look like or what they appear to be on the external, and look to their spirit? Because when you do that, you'll see the kinship and feel the kinship of spirit, because that's who and where we came from. We came from spiritual roots, wholesomeness, and love of land and God, where we only kill to eat. We didn't kill for sport. We didn't go around shooting stuff and hanging it up on over a mantle. So we are wholesome and true to the spirit of God. And when we start looking at each other with that view rather than the external first and making an assessment that the person is, because I've had people look at me and they think they got me made. They think, well, he must be like this. And the way I speak, they think, oh, he was a college dude. You know, you could pull up on him and say anything, and then you disrespect me and I'll take you down. Then you say, damn, I didn't know that boy could fight. Dang, what did y'all tell me? Well, I tried to tell you, man, the boy ain't soft. You got the wrong impression. So we get these impressions by the shell, what we see of the shell, but we have a tendency not to look beyond the shell to the spirit, where the true meat and bone is. And that's why I say, when Black Lives Matter to you, I know for a fact, because you demonstrate that. But let's not ignore that we came from the dead, right? And so we look at life differently than the average person. We were redeemed from the dead. And I ain't talking about, you know, the in the ground dead. I'm talking about the spiritually, emotionally, and a lot of other times mentally dead, man.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, I know you, Black Lives Matter to you, Mark. I know Black Lives Matter to you, Tim. I know Black Lives Matter to me, but I'm not going to anticipate that everybody thinks and feels the same way about Black Lives that I do until we can persuade them to look beyond the shell and see the resource and know that it's there, because it's there for you. But when people don't recognize their own resource, they're not going to recognize the resources of others that look like them. So that's why we constantly pulling away at the shell, pulling away at away from the shell and getting to the meat, where the spirit is, and where the creativity is, where the innovation is, where the ingenuity is, because that's where we came from. I'm looking at these inventions, and I'm saying, a black man invented a refrigerator, right? The refrigerator,
yes, sir.
Man.
Yes, sir.
I'm just
and
using
every
that
house
because
got one.
Every house got one.
Yes, sir.
Got to have it. I mean, I'm looking at these inventions, and I can just go down the line, and I can say this. But what I'm saying in overall is that's who and where we came from, and let's not be shy about it. Let's not ignore it. Let's bathe in it.
Yes, sir.
And walk and go forth from there. Because nobody does anything like we do. Nobody.
Oh, but they copy real quick. They copy real quick. Without further ado, I got Brother Joe for you. Brother Joe, go ahead and introduce yourself to the world.
I'm Joseph Tanner. How are you guys doing this morning? Hey, Marvin. I just got on, so I'm not clear of what the topic is, but I can say that you know, I'm grateful to be here, and I'm thankful for Christmas. So I'll wait and then talk later.
Okay, John.
All right. Hey, so you are listening to Wise Words with One Gun Show on Blog Talk Radio, where we have some wise brothers on here and sisters on here speaking about who does Black Lives Matter to? Who does Black Lives Matter to? The number to call in is the 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. Without further ado, here's Brother Marvell for you. Marvell?
Yes, sir. I'm back. I'm back on this kick. The kick is examine the true spirit and the nature of our people. Just examine that. If you need some reminders, or if you need to be spurred toward a little bit more information to be sure, just check the history. You know, they have a segment on YouTube called 100 Black Inventions, right? Tune in to something like that, and you'd be astonished to find who did what, when, how they did it, and what happened to it, right? See, the reason why it's not put forth and recognized is because the group who capitalized on it had to keep shade on the origin, number one, and the group that it was capitalized from don't know how to market what we've created. We're poor marketers. And like Tim said earlier about customer service, if you got a business and you got a bunch of little people that's kind of casual, nonchalant, and indifferent about the job when black people come in, they might even perk up when white people come in because they know, I better go ahead and tighten this up because I know they might spend a lot of money, so I better go ahead and put the fake JCPenney smile on them. But when black people come in, they got their face tuned up, more slow moving vehicles when it comes to service and all that. That stuff has to change. That ideology has to change. You have to stop looking at a person because they're black and not recognize the power of their resource.
Come on.
And the power of their persona.
Come on.
So this is what we're pushing for. We're not pushing for a unity for we're pushing for a unity for a cause, not just because. Not just because you're a black person, but the cause is that I know that I don't care what you demonstrate outside of yourself. Inside of you, there is a resource, and that's what I want to uphold, inspire, and to bring forth, so that we can go forth together comfortably. Because we shouldn't have no discomfort moving together. We got too much of history that's alike. We got too many resources that are alike. We got too much creativity that's alike. We got too much ingenuity that's alike. We got too much perseverance and too much resilience that's alike for us not be able to work and go forward together. This doesn't make sense. But we continue to try to make sense out of nonsense.
Come on, man. You sure is speaking the truth right now. I say. Whew. Hey, so we got to go to a commercial break right quick. Don't forget that we're talking about black lives and who they matter to right here on the Wise Words with One Gone Show with your guests from all around the world and your host from right here with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. We'll be right back.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67, our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67 every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together. Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251
Bluen Row, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
Yes, sir. That's tonight. The Men's Healing Circle will be there. I just want to know if you'll be there. It is 2251 Florin Road inside the Obama Room, where brothers come together to really understand one another and moving forward.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Game Night. Join us every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Get together with others once a week for a night of camaraderie, friendly competition, and pure, genuine fun. Playing games like Trouble, Monopoly, Checkers, Sorry, Chess, Card Game, and Dominoes. That's every Thursday night at 2251 Florin Road in the Obama Room. For more information, call or text 916-889-0105.
And we will see you there.
All right, we're back to the show with our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, sir. You know, in reflection, during the commercial, I was thinking about the one element that deserves attention and deserves the time to be cultivated with our people, and that is trust. Although we have likenesses that are just, you know, overwhelmingly true when we look at it, there's still this element of distrust that seems to exist. And I would dare to say rightfully so a lot of times. Right, because I know that. Well, I know personally, but I'm not going to speak generally what I know. But what I have perceived and what I have observed is that there's a tendency for one black to see another black initiate something, and I think in the back of their mind, there's this kind of like decision to make. Do I help them blow up, or did I just sit back and watch what happened? And the sit back and watch what happens crew seems to be a tendency now. They have to be somebody very popular or can stimulate their dopamine to the point where they're almost addicted to blowing them up, like music, right? Or so-called music, the rap that they use to explore and define the anger and the disdain that we have, men to women, women to men, and all that. They can blow them up, but somebody who's attempting to do something to enrich or to produce something that might help the rest of our culture, there's this sit back kind of thing because I don't want to blow him up, because I don't know what he's going to do when I blow him up. Like we have athletes and we have a lot of entertainers. We have a lot of people that we buy in and blow them up, even though they're entertaining us and we enjoy them. When they get to their zenith, when they get to the point where they have ability to have an impact and an influence on what's going on with us, we don't hear from them. We don't hear from them. So there's the element of trust and distrust that I think if we keep discussing it, we can find a way to balance it out and get a better perspective on what it is that we should trust in each other and what it is that we should urge closer and more deeper trust in each other. But to continue to not trust each other is something that is unfortunately, I think, in the air. And unfortunately, it's one of those barriers that's going to make it difficult for unity to eventually occur.
I agree. And that's what's holding us down right now. That word, trust, because if we were a trusting people, I think that we would put, like Mark said, our money into that basket. And let that grow, and let's invest that. It's too many black millionaires. It's too many black folks with common sense. And I don't know how common sense has left the area, but it left. And so what I want you to know is that if we were to come together and put our coins together and build like my grandfather and his cousins used to do in Louisiana, what they used to do, man, they used to get together and Mr. Moore would know how to lay that cement. Mr. Charles know how to do the painting. Jesse and Ralph know how to do the carpentry. Peter know how to do the electricity. And what they did is got together, drunk a beer. They drunk a beer, and they went to work. They went to work. They knocked that thing out and say somebody else needed something done. They get together and go knock it out. What we have come to do is not even use our hands. Our young folks don't even know how to change a bicycle tire. Kids just got a bicycle on Christmas. This is 2 days after Christmas. It's on flat. They done put it in the garage, waiting to take it to the repair shop instead of fixing that thing themselves. That's how laid back we done gotten. Cold thing.
Yeah, yes, it is, you know, and that's why I say again, you know, it's a lack of feelings for one another. It's a lack of mentorship. See, when they took the man out the house, that was the beginning of the great separation, because it separated fathers from sons, grandfathers from grandchildren. You know, it spread our men all across this country. It just broke the families up completely. That, the military, a whole lot, there was a lot of devices used in that. Even with the women, from the daughters. You know, mama got to go out to work. So the kids is left home eating peanut butter sandwiches and noodles, you know. So they made stuff convenient, but that convenience has tore down the structure. Yeah, that's why I say, you know, we look at a lot of things as progress, but it's really a mess. It tore us apart individually, but being individual brings about a loneliness. It brings about a carelessness that you don't care for nobody. I got to do this for myself, you know. But we can't do it for ourselves. We can't do it alone. No man is an island. We need each other to make this thing work. And that's why I'm asking everybody to get on board with this black cohesion, because we need it. And it starts with us. And like I say, whatever few pennies I got, I'm ready to start something. We got to get something going here. And once it gets going, it's going to take on like wildfire. We do what we can with a little bit, and then we get more, we do a little bit more. But we got to start. I digress.
Brother Mark has the right answer. That is the right conception, especially at this time. That's the wrong choice of words. We, the ones that are on this line and others, we know of others who can actually do what Brother Tim was talking about a minute ago. There are still pockets of black men who are carpenters, painters, cement masons, architects who can actually take an empty lot and do something with it. I am with Brother Mark 100 in riding around just yesterday. In my mind, I saw quite a few lots empty that something could be done with that lot. I agree. I agree with Marvell, Tim, Mark, and anybody else. It's time for us men who were taken out of the home, who have been locked up unnecessarily, lied upon by this society, vilified by this society. It's time for us men who are strong enough just to stand up and step forward. I say that 100 times, and I'm going to keep saying it because that's what it takes. That's what it's going to take. The children, the fact that they don't know, like Brother Mark just said, the fact that they don't know is because we have not been there. Our women folk, as Brother Marvell mentioned a moment ago, I'm sorry, Brother Mark mentioned a moment ago, they've been so bamboozled. Now, let's understand something. They've been so bamboozled that they don't know. And I'm just talking about a lot of women, because they are beginning to understand that they were sold a bill of goods, too, with the feminist idea. There's no black feminist, only white feminist. And the concept of femininity and the concept of softness came from our women when we first got here. It's just take some enterprising black men just merely to put their nickels together, Brother Mark, and stand up. That's all. And I'll step back.
And so we have a few callers on the line. I just want to open their line up in case they would like to say anything on this broadcast. Hello from the 216. 216, hello. Okay, I just wanted to open the line up. Go ahead, Brother Marvell.
So, again, the overview is far easier for people like us who, for whatever reason, have become tired of being in the midst of it, and taking a better position to see what direction can be taken for us as a group and as a culture. And it's really clear to me now that we're going to have to do as you guys are proposing, and that segues into a project that's being mapped out right now. We have someone who came from another country, from an African country, Ethiopia, came here and had eyes wide open about how to tap into the resources to make stuff happen, and been making stuff happen. I mean, some very impressive things. And then that person said, wait a minute, they've been here, and I'm tapping in and making stuff happen, and they've been here and stuff's not happening for them, why not? And then as the probe continued, it's because, number one, we're not demonstrating the type of collectivism and unity that attracts these things. People from other countries can come in
and come back.
People from other countries can come in and get themselves founded far quicker than the people that's been here. Well,
come on. I'll answer all of that when we come back here.
For hundreds of years, these people have been here. And so when she recognized that, she put forth an effort to try to build an economic base for us as a people. And it's a very good project. And I'm going to brief you as things go forth. It's just one of these things that we don't want to divulge too much until there's a good platform and foundation, but it's moving precisely in the direction that we are talking about, where the unity is defined by our economic ability as a group. Because in this country, if you don't have an economic foundation, even as a group, you're probably still going to have, it's going to be a slow-moving vehicle. But when you establish yourself as an economic force, then all the other things start kicking in, because you have the ability to perform and make things happen. You have the ability to be seen and recognized as equal. The equity starts kicking in because you've demonstrated that you deserve to be standing alongside anybody who is doing well in this country, collectively. So it's right on that street that we're talking about, and we're working to get in the same house before it's over with. So I'm not going to divulge a whole bunch, and I'm not trying to be secretive, but just that we're meeting now to make sure that we get our foundation and our platform clearly mapped out and defined our mission statement and vision and then our format, and then I'll report everything that's going on, and you guys can make a decision on whether or not you say yay or nay or whether or not you want to pour in with some suggestions. But it's something in flow that's going to be precisely what we're talking about, and I'm glad to be able to say that. So, gentlemen, you know, and then even with us, we're spreading out from the healing circle. A lot of bodies, a lot of arms have sprung from the healing circle, and they're doing some powerful things as well. So we're moving. These are movements that are promising for us. So I just want to report that.
And you know, I'd like to add to what you were saying there, Brother Marvell. We are a slow-moving train. It's just like a train. When it comes to the rail yard, it picks up a car, moves a little further, another car hooks up to it, another car hooks up to it. And as those cars connect, the train picks up speed, and it gets faster and faster. And as you go down the highway, you see that train, boy, just that smoke billowing out the top, and just it's moving. And that's the way we're going to be. So right now we're just picking up passengers along the way, those that with the mindset that want to see better and willing to do better, to help this thing become better, it's going to happen. We just got to stay positive and stay motivated. I digress.
That's a good analogy. I like that one. That's a good analogy. Because we're building up the momentum. And, you know, the track is oiled. Everything is oiled. We had our brother Elijah McCoy made it so that we don't have to keep stopping to oil the mechanism by hand. He got an automatic oiling, lubricating mechanism that makes it so that once the train builds the momentum, it don't have to stop to be oiled, courtesy of Elijah McCoy. So when that train gets moving, the big deal is stopping it, making sure it stops. Because once we get moving collectively, I see it as a vessel that's going to just go across many lands and affect a whole lot of people. Because I say this all the time, and I'm going to continue to say this, that this country touts to be the greatest country in the world, but until it gives black people the equity that they have earned, it is not. But it would be when that happens. But not until.
Yes, sir.
It is not the greatest country in the world, because there's a group of people that are being omitted and left behind and shoved to the side, and everybody's seeing that. So how could you be great when you have this deficit and this shortcoming in your country? How could you claim to be the greatest? You might be among the more powerful because you got all the guns that makes you powerful, but you're not the most influential. Because people come here, make their bounty, and send it back home to where they're comfortable at, because they're not really that comfortable here. They just know that this is a land where if you come in and you put your hand down, you can get paid.
Well, that's the whole thing there, Brother Marvell. See, this country is great for them because they're doing what they want to do, what they set out to do. See, they're making money hand over fist. You know, we're the ones that's lacking. We're lacking in a lot of areas. But we don't realize it because, like I say, we're stuck on black individual excellence. See, there's a lot of great individuals out there, black individuals doing big things, but there's no togetherness. There's no unit. Mm. There's no unity. See, so that's why they say, oh, America's a great place to live. It's a great place to come. Yeah, because they got a country to send money back to. We don't send money back to Africa because we haven't developed that concept yet. But as the same brother that put me on to black cohesion, Liberia
is a great place to start. They're welcoming us, from my understanding, what I've read on the internet and whatnot, you know. But we have to start somewhere, and we can start right here. Like I said, we can get a little patch of land. Most of the good land is taken up already because we've been slow moving. But we got to reach out there and grab a piece of land and then grab another piece and grab another piece till finally we get a big piece. But we got to start. And these brothers right here, our mindset, we maintain this mindset, we can start it ourselves. And then as we get going, others are going to come in because there's a lot of others out there. And we just got to look past the naysayers. We got to look past it because they're going to want to get on board later on too. And it'll be room for them. I digress.
We appreciate you, Brother Mark. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. And ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Dr. Flo, who is running for city mayor in Sacramento, California, who is on the line. Let me open up her line one time. Dr. Flo, would you like to have a word?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. My name is Flo Kofer. I am known by the community as Dr. Flo. I do have a background in public health, and I am running for mayor of Sacramento, and I'm just really pleased to be able to be with you on the call this morning and just talk a little bit about why I'm running for mayor. I'm running for so many of the reasons that you all have been talking about already, which is the value of community and the need for our community to come together and to be heard and to really have representative leadership that values the voices of people who are not always involved in decision making. And my experience, having been here for, you know, almost 20 years now, has been that, you know, too often we see our community members as adversaries and as, you know, as obstacles to be navigated around, as opposed to partners who can really help us to be able to be as effective at leadership and at serving our communities as possible. And so that's the spirit that I want to bring to the office and why I'm running for mayor.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you got my vote. You have my vote. Hey, Brother Marvell, I thought this would be a treat for the show today. Dr. Flo will be coming into the Men's Healing Circle tonight. And we were talking, and so I wanted to have her on. Maybe someone on this line would like to have a Q&A with Dr. Flo and the things that she brings to the city.
And it went to, just $2,000 to a cemetery credit union.
Okay.
And they can't
hear. Is that somebody? That's Brother Joe. That's Brother Joe. I had to mute Brother Joe. So, Mark, do you have any questions for our guest, Dr. Flo?
I don't have any questions, but I have some encouraging words. We as a people need all of it we can get. And I appreciate you stepping forward. I'm surprised that there's not others stepping forward, because we should have more than one person of color running, you know. But I admire you, and I encourage you to keep going, and you got my vote.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. And, you know, I mean, your comments, you know, really strike me, because we just lost the first Black woman who ever served in city leadership. And it has really stood out to me. And I've been saying this, you know, since I announced my campaign back in April, that, you know, we've only ever had three elected Black women in leadership in the city of Sacramento. And two of them, unfortunately, have passed away. And so that would be Bonnie Pinnell, who passed away, you know, several years ago. And then more recently, Callie Carney, who was the first Black woman to ever serve back in 1975. And so we're the only person who's left who's ever served in city leadership from an elected perspective is Lauren Hammond, who's the current president of the National Women's Political Caucus. But, you know, I think in a city that is as diverse as ours and in a city where, you know, people put in so much work, it's really, it's time now to be able to diversify the leadership of the mayor. And so I'm actually the first Black woman to ever even run for mayor of Sacramento. And it's almost 2024, right? So to your point about encouraging others to run, absolutely. We need representative leadership. We need people who understand our communities. And so I am strongly encouraging people to look for, you know, districts, you know, 1, 3, 5, 7 that'll be coming up in 2026 and start thinking about, you know, who should be representing those communities. And do we have elected leadership that is, that, you know, is ready to go. And if not, to really seriously think about, you know, preparing yourself. It's not something you just jump into, but certainly preparing yourself to run in those spaces, because we do need to diversify the options that people have. And we need to diversify the people who are sitting in elected leadership and are making decisions for our city.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we heard you.
Good. Dr. Flo, I hope to be able to talk with you tonight.
Yes.
My name is Joseph Tanner, and I look forward to the audience, being in the audience for you tonight. I, too, like one dog just said, my vote will be cast in your direction. And I'll talk a little bit more to you today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
you know, one of
I
the things
be...
that I'm
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, one of the things, you know, I'm obviously really concerned about, just to give everybody a preview of what we can talk more about this evening, is, you know, my platform. So I am a corporate-free candidate. What that means is that I'm not taking money from corporate PACs. I'm not taking money from law enforcement. I'm not taking money from fossil fuels, or, you know, from you know, big tobacco. I'm not taking money from the entities that are often working against us, because I want to represent the voices of the people. And too often we have seen and heard people say, oh, well, you know, it's just a campaign contribution to help me get in. But once I get there, you know, it's not quid pro quo. I'm going to, you know, vote and decide based on my conscience. But they always end up voting and deciding based on the people who helped fund them to get there. And so it's really important to me that I run a campaign where I am really being represented by the people and really being supported by the people who, you know, who I hope I'm planning to represent. And so that's important. That's one key distinction between me and everyone else in the field, is that I am the only corporate-free candidate. The other distinction, you know, is that I'm coming to this from a public health perspective, which means I'm thinking about systems. And the one thing we know about systems is that they're perfectly designed to get the outcomes that they do. So when we look at mass incarceration, when we look at, you know, community violence, when we look at all of the things that are challenges that are facing our community, all of those things are not accidents. Those are features of our current system, because the system is designed to get those outcomes. And so in order to get different outcomes, we have to redesign systems. And thankfully in Sacramento, we have successfully done that at a time not too distant in the past, where our violence prevention and intervention folks came together and got us 2 years with no youth homicides. Nobody driving by any of our city's high schools and seeing RIP or watching 16-year-olds having to cry over a casket because they lost a friend. And that's really important to me as someone who lost friends as a child to gun violence and recognizes how harmful it is to the entire community, but especially the family that lost someone. And I don't want that fate for anyone. And so we went 2 years from 2017 until 2020 with no youth homicides in the city of Sacramento. And I want to go back to that, because that was a decision, a redesign of our system to be able to get that outcome. And those are the types of things that I want to see our city continue to do, not just spend money, you know, where we've always spent it, but actually spend money on the things that work. And so that's what having a scientist as your mayor will bring for you, is looking at the data and saying, this worked. These are the things that we know will work. These are the things that we need to innovate on, because we want to see something different. And this is where we should be putting our time and energy and support.
I'm not going to be at the youth circle, at the healing circle tonight, because I'm visiting in Ohio. I would like to be there because I would like to do my own assessment and hear information coming from you that
would be persuasive for me to what's persuasive so far is my partner says that he unquestionably is going to be with you, so he must know a little bit more than I do, and then my cohorts say the same thing. It's just that I was listening to hear what was important for me to hear, and I heard a lot of the things that were important for me as far as your candidacy and your perspective as a candidate, and then you not being financed by some of those outside interests was very impressive to me, because I understand that if the grassroots and the community members put you where you want to be and where you be able to assist and to be a part of our growth, then we're going to be your constituents. So
mm-hmm,
that was important
right.
for me to hear. So yes. And now with that in mind, I hope that you'll remember that it's Tim Pool's Hooked on Fishing, our healing group, our men accountable. We have a men accountable project underway. We have a lot of things that we would like for you to let them cross your desk once we get you elected, that you would you pour into, because we're moving too. So we want you to be walk alongside the movements that we're creating. Is that something that's fair to anticipate?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, when I was talking about, you know, I feel like our leadership sometimes has seen our community as obstacles to navigate instead of partners, it's really important to me that, you know, I think about this place as a place where people are always rolling up their sleeves and getting involved. You know, I went to Spelman, so I lived in Atlanta for a little while, went to Michigan for graduate school, which is where I earned my PhD. And so, you know, I lived there for a while, and I've never lived in a place where people are so eager to show up and support. I mean, just think about Thanksgiving morning, 30,000 people show up for a Run to Feed the Hungry to support the food bank. This is a special place here. When it's cold outside or warm outside, people are bringing, you know, blankets to our unhoused neighbors who are experiencing homelessness, you know, and are bringing water to them when it's 115 degrees and trying to find shelter. Like, this is a place where people care about our neighbors. I've knocked over 15,000 doors since my campaign started earlier this year, and every single person, these were all people who were securely housed, said that housing and homelessness was their number one issue in the city of Sacramento. Without fail, that has been everybody's primary concern. Before, they maybe talked about some other things, but they said, well, obviously homelessness, well, obviously the cost of living here is a problem for me. And so that shows a high level of concern we each have for our neighbors, and our leadership should have that same concern. And so I want to make sure that when we come up with solutions for things, we're also thinking about how can our community members and our community-based organizations and our faith communities and our unions and our neighborhood associations and all of the great people coming together weekly, like you all, are able to have a role in making those things successful. That's how you create a system that is designed for success instead of to harm us.
So,
well, I love the way she's talking.
Say again.
Hey, brother Marville, I love the way she's talking. So I talked to a few brothers, Sean Connolly being one. We talked last night. Dr. Flo had a get-together the other night. I wasn't able to attend. I had another event that night. But I sure wanted to be there because the 916 Community Alliance was there, and that's the brothers that had came home, changed their lives, and given back to the community from their hearts, right? They've done some wrong in their lives, but now they're doing right in their life. And so I back them 100%. The sisters that are in there, like Miss Chandler, who was on my radio show on 97.5 this Saturday, was able to talk about how she can touch the young ladies out here, because we do a lot of work with our young men, but we don't actually have too many sisters out here working with our young ladies and sisters. I got to give a shout out to Dr. Mama Rowe. I got to give a shout out to Mama Rowe, Yolanda Wilkins, who's always been a pillar in this community. And she's from New Jersey, right? But she's come here with a mentality of love for her
fellow brothers and sisters, and she shows that from her heart. And so, Dr. Flo, we appreciate you. Like I said, tonight we'll have our brothers in there to do a Q&A with you, also to stamp our approval and move forward in the areas that you need us to move in, because we know that this fight is a long fight, and it's a hard fight, but if we as a people come together and show what black lives can do and how black lives really matter, we'll come and be able to put you in the polls to be the first black woman to be mayor here in Sacramento, California.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. And I am really enjoying my, you know, partnership with the 916 Community Alliance. It means so much to me because I'm a big fan of restorative justice. And I think this is what restorative justice looks like in practice in our communities. It's having a pathway for people who have been previously incarcerated or have, you know, had other, you know, challenges in their lives to be able to also be leaders and be members of our community. That's what having a fully formed community looks like. We don't throw people away. We don't cast them out. We offer a path back in for our collective healing. And so that is so incredibly important to me. And I'm sorry you weren't able to come. We had a great time. We were dancing. We got to hang out by the fire. We had some amazing food. Samira put her foot in that pasta that she made. Boy, it was amazing. and it was just a great way to be able to build community and just get to know one another as people as well.
I say. You're listening to the Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. If you just joined us, that was Dr. Flo, who's running for the city's mayor position. I encourage you to come out to 2251 Florin Road, the Obama Room, from 6 to 7:30 tonight, and sit in. It is a men's healing circle, but we include our women, right? Because the conversation cannot be had without both parties involved, right? So if you're in the area of 2251 Florin Road tonight from 6 to 7:30, please join us in the Obama Room, where we'll be having none other than Dr. Flo, who is running for mayor in the city of Sacramento. Brother Marville?
Yeah. So I'm encouraged about the issue, because I don't know if the doctor was on the line when we spoke about that issue of trust and how trust is one of those things where, you know, you reach for something and you snatch your hand back, you know, because you're apprehensive about whether or not you can grab it and whether or not you can hold it and whether or not you can keep it once you have it. So I'm feeling as though that factor will be a precedent for what we can anticipate with our leadership if we trust you, Dr. Flo. If we trust you and that trust pays us a dividend, then it's a good precedent and a good model to anticipate blowing up any other leader who has the qualifications and has the spirit that's necessary to keep our trust factor and build momentum of flow of trust, because that's the one thing that we concur when we talk. We concur that's an element that we're short in. We're short
Absolutely.
In that trust factor. And I'm hearing and feeling that you can stand in the gap and fill that void for leadership that we can trust.
That's exactly, honestly, why I'm running, because I feel like we need to have people who let their yes be yes and their no be no and don't play politics with our lives. And so I am certainly running on a platform that is about human rights, that is about, you know, reparations, that is about really doing the right thing for our community and building something positive moving forward. But I'm also running in a way where I'm saying, look, this is my yes and this is my no. And so I have sat down, even though I'm not taking their money and their endorsements, I've sat down with the developers in our region. And I've sat down with the California Apartment Association, which is always fighting against rent control and fighting against some of the things that we need. And I said to them, look, I'm not taking your money and I don't know what we agree on, but I'm always willing to hear you out. And one of the things that, you know, came up was they were talking about the developer fees, right, the fees that they add on when they have new projects. And they said, you know, will you, you know, raise them? Will you keep them the same? Will you lower them? And I said, look, I know the other candidates are going to come here and they're going to tell you exactly what you want to hear, which is that the fees are going to go down and that they're going to be pro-building and pro-this. I am certainly pro-housing, but also our parks have a lot of deferred maintenance. We have things that we need in our community, and I am not going to offer you basically corporate welfare, right, which is giving you discounts on the developer fees when we have things that we need to spend those dollars on, and when you don't pay us, it makes other aspects of our community worse. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the developer fees aren't going to go up. I'm going to tell you they probably will. And so we had a back and forth about that. What does that mean? And I said, we have parks with deferred maintenance. They need to be maintained. I was like, honestly, I would love to be able to see us have parks that all have, like, well-maintained bathrooms, because that is a missing link in the city of Sacramento, is that there are not public restrooms available for people when they're out and about. And 10,000 people experiencing homelessness, you know, going to the bathroom is not an option for any of us. We all got to go multiple times a day. And if you don't give us a place, we're going to have to go anyway, right? So I want to make sure that we have facilities available so that we can all handle our human needs with dignity. And so so the one thing about me, and I think they all walked away with it, was like, we don't agree with everything you're saying because you're probably going to try to lighten our pockets a little bit, but we respect the fact that you were honest with us and you told us the truth and you didn't just tell us what we want to hear. And that means a lot in relationships, because you know that when I tell you yes, I mean my yes, and when I tell you no, I mean my no. And that's something that's really important to me in terms of trust, is being able to know that you're going to honor your word.
Well done. Well presented. I agree, and I'm convinced that your candidacy kind of outshines any of those that that may be proffered so far, and you know, it's just a matter of us rallying and pushing forth to get beyond that financial structure, because if you're grassroots, you're just really going to have to be a strong momentum going in,
yep.
Because there's, you know, it's strange how money impacts these decisions and these elections so strongly. It baffles me how money is such a motivating factor in making a candidate profile more visible. It's very strange to me. But you're doing what I think is going to be necessary, which is you're working within the community, coming into the local community, and coming face-to-face with community members that hopefully you'll recognize that we're on the move as well. So just like you're moving toward your mayorship, we're moving toward our community foundation and for our people and our culture to have a better viewpoint and better reception to the rest of this city and the rest of the country.
That's right.
We're moving
that's
in
right.
that direction.
So watch this, Brother Marvell. What I do know about Dr. Flo is that she is the community, right? Just because she's running for mayor didn't mean she already wasn't in the community. She's been in the community. I've watched her for years around Mama Ro, on Mama Ro's podcast, just around the sisters and building in the community. And so I can vouch for that, that she is the community. And that's what's going to take her to the top, the community and the people in the community. So what we're going to do is rally around this sister and push her upward. We don't want to be a hindrance. What we want to do is be able to push this sister to be the first mayor of Sacramento, and watch her work, because I've seen her work without the title. I've seen her work without the PhDs and all that. I've seen her at the ground root. She don't know that I DJed a few things she was at already, right? One being Barry Access, giving away toys a couple of weeks ago. We was at the Florence Square, and she was there, and she spoke to the crowd, and she moves with a smile, with joy, and with the Most High. So without further ado, y'all, let's vote Dr. Flo into that seat and watch her work. Let's not throw any stones out for her to trip over. Let's not
big no holes where she got to jump over. We need to, as men, if there's a puddle of water, we need to take our jacket off, our shirt off, and put that thing down over that puddle and let her walk over it. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about uplifting this queen so she can do what needs to be done in the city of Sacramento. And I believe she can do it. All we need to do is just put all of our votes together. We say if we come together in unity, well, this is the time we need to unify. We need to unify to push this lady into that seat. With that, I digress.
Ashe, hear, hear.
Thank you. Thank you. And it has been such a pleasure to be. This community has wrapped its arms around me and loved me from the moment I got here. And that's why I've loved it back. You know, I came here, I say, like, I'm from Pittsburgh, but Sacramento really raised me into adulthood because I've been here my whole adult life. And I, you know, like I said, almost 20 years now, and I have just loved this place because of just how warm the reception has been here. And there's just so many great strengths that I see in this community, and I'm like, we deserve to have those strengths that we see and the work that we're building together be reflected in our leadership. So I appreciate all of the support, and it's just really beautiful to watch and see this community really, like, continue to build on the strong foundation that I think is here. And
so
I'm excited
like
for what we're going
to
be able to do together.
I would like to give some of our ladies on this call a opportunity to give you good wishes. So I'll start with 513. Hello.
Good afternoon. It's afternoon here in Cleveland, Ohio. Nice to hear from you, Dr. Flo, and I wish you well. I wish you luck. And that's it for me. I just hope you win and make a change for the city of Sacramento.
Ashe, Ashe. 216.
Hello, I am Melba. I am the sister of Marvell Wilson, and I wish you a lot of luck also. I am very proud of my brother for this podcast. He is very well-spoken, always
yes.
has been. And I am proud that a woman is running, and I think it's awesome. I hope everyone comes out, supports you, and I hope that you succeed. Thank you. And I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio also.
All right. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that is our moment with Dr. Flo. Dr. Flo, would you like to give any last regards or information, or just want to say thank you?
I just really want to say thank you so much for those, you know, who want to get involved in whatever way. This is a grassroots campaign, so we are knocking doors. We are phone banking, so even if you are out of town, I heard my Ohio folks, I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so I have family in Ohio, so shout out to my East Coast / Midwest folks. There are always ways to help out the campaign if you're available to, you know, to help us with phone banking. You can do that remotely. We also have door knocking that we do multiple times a week, and so you can always sign up for a shift on the website, and our website is flowformayor.com. That's flowformayor.com. And, of course, my fundraising director, Tamara Raspberry, would kill me if I didn't also mention that we take contributions as long as you're not a corporate PAC or law enforcement or representing one of those entities. We do take contributions, and they are greatly appreciated because it is expensive to run for mayor. It costs $12,000 just to be able to put my 200-word candidate summary in the voter guide that gets mailed out before the election. And that's not, you know, that's not even getting into the lawn signs and the ads and, you know, the mailers, which cost about $40,000 with postage. So every bit that we get from the community really does help us to be able to get our message out and to get our name out. So just really appreciate all the ways that people can show up and sign up and getting young people involved, getting our elders involved. This is a community effort. So I appreciate you all. And, again, that website is flowformayor.com.
All right. All right. Anyone else have anything for Dr. Flo? I see Joe back on. Joe, you got that background cleared up? Yeah. Joe, you want to give your final words?
Yeah, I'd be glad to be, as I said, to the doctor tonight, and we'll actually talk a little bit further at the meeting tonight. Dr. Flo, thank you once again, and I hope we have a good time with you tonight. Thank you.
Yes, Sam. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll take a commercial break. We'll be right back on the Wise Words with One Gone Show. You know we always talk about our youth, so here
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67. Our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67 every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together.
You're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. Without further ado, here's our host, Marvell Wilson, for you. Marvell.
Thank you, sir. How do black lives matter, and to whom do they matter? And we've already defined the people as Dr. Flo, someone who demonstrates that and not just says it, someone that represents it in their manner when they look upon or are at a league or in proximity to another person. How do you greet a person that looks like you, another black person? And if you have any challenges when you look upon this person, do you stop and address yourself? Or if you have one with them, do you deliberately address them about it? And I'm not talking about in a confrontational manner. I'm just talking about in a sharing method to let it be known that whatever might exist, it's negotiable, because the kinship that we have and the relativity that we share should not be deterred by any appearances, any innuendo, any gossip, or any prejudice. It should not have that impact to make us distance ourselves from our kinship with each other. So black lives matter to black lives. If you are a black person and you are living, black lives likely should matter to you. Or if not, assess how much your life really matters, because you'll be living a potentially selfish life if you're not able to open up your heart, your mind, your spirit to someone whose experience is just like yours.
Mr. Marvell.
Sir.
Okay, you cut off abruptly to me. I was on the phone with Dr. Flo. She just hung up. She wanted to thank everyone on the call again. So I want to say thank you to y'all. This young lady is the real deal, right? You have to sit and talk with her. She's the real deal, and she will make change in Sacramento. These folks are shaking in their boots because of her status. So, you know, there's nothing that they can dig up on Dr. Flo, but good works, right? She's been doing good works a long time. If you go back into her high school, you'll see how much work she was doing for her community in Pittsburgh. And then when she went to Spelman, you'll see how she worked in the city of Atlanta with different entities in Atlanta. And so what I want to say to you all is we have one of the ones that we really need to push is Dr. Flo. This is not a game. This is not a gimmick. I was so proud to find out that she's running that, you know, I spoke to her. She didn't even know who I was, and it's not for you to be a big you and a little I or a little me. It is about the spirit of one another connecting, right? And so I want y'all to know that we need to really sit down and talk with her, and not at her, but talk with her about the moves that we're making, about the organizations that we represent, and about the change in which we look for. Ashe?
Ashe. Yes, sir. Well, I'm glad she just voluntarily came on.
She called me. We was talking already, and I told her to come on. We needed the world to hear her cry, right? Because just because she's in Sacramento, don't mean that my mama and them who listening on the internet right now that they can't send prayers her way, a dollar or two her way, right? It's bigger than the city of Sacramento. It's bigger than that. It's about the human race and what we was talking about earlier, Black Lives Mattering, and who do they matter to? Well, Black Lives Matter to Dr. Flo, and that's why she's running this race. No other reason. Dr. Flo has a good check. She's a scientist. She has a good check, right? She's not looking to come in and try to get money out of this. She's coming to make change. And like I said, I've seen her on different platforms. That's why I mentioned Mama Ro. Mama Ro has been uplifting Dr. Flo for at least 10 years that I know of, right? Because she's a young sister with her head on straight, and she's dark, 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 right? And so many people used to kind of like in our own community slander her because of her color, because she's dark, dark, midnight dark, right? And she comes from a place in her heart that says that she comes in love. And I always speak of love. Anytime you see or hear me, I'm always put love out there because that's a missing component in our community. First, not loving yourself so you can love somebody else. That's where the love is missing, not loving oneself. And so if one can love themselves, they can love someone else. And that's what Dr. Flo brings to the ticket. I know a few other candidates, you know. I was going to have Dr. Flo on our radio show, 97.5 KBEE FM, where the city could hear her in their cars. But because of political reasons, our station, they sworn not to bring anybody that's running for anything on the show. And I'm saying this is a black station, and we're pushing black voices. Why we can't push this voice, right? And I got sat down, and I sat down humbly, but I really wanted her on our show so that the city of Sacramento can hear her speak about the changes that are necessary in our city.
You know, I swing back to initially what I said about how the shell usually doesn't matter, just what's internal that matters, and then it only matters to those who can seize and take advantage of that inner resource, right? And so when you said about her, you know, being a dark-complected woman, it automatically triggered to me the type of assessment
that would probably be made because of that, and not look beyond any appearances to the spirit and the quality and the character of the individual. And that's kind of like what I was alluding to, is that we're very diverse in the way we look, right? We got people walking down the street with pajamas on, right? And could say tits, we could say, oh man, Lord have mercy, what's wrong? But yet we work with youth that may contemplate or may even demonstrate that kind of behavior, but by the time we're through with them, they'll rethink about that. And not because we browbeat them or tongue-lashed them or we demanded anything from them, because we stimulated them to look inside of themselves and consider making a better decision about how they're portraying themselves, right? So it's an inside-out job that we have to be conscious of, that everything that we're looking at is not what it appears to be, but what's inside is always true. Mm. It's always true that spirit exists in our people, and it's always true. Well, I'll say always, maybe not always 100%, but I'm going to say 92% to be safe and leave an 8% loophole for maybe someone who just a reprobate and just refuses to accept that they are who they are and continue to try to be something or someone else. But I'll say 92% of the people we look at, if we look beyond what the appearances are and look to what the spirit is, we'll find the kinship, and we'll find that there's so much more that we can see in ourselves through them by being so much alike. So these are just the little things when we talk about this issue, I like to delve into where do we get started at? You know, this unity that's why yesterday when we talked about Kwanzaa, we talked about unity being the first principle. However, unity is usually a culmination of all the other principles and where we arrive at the end. So in this case, the last will be first, and the first will be last. So unity is the ideal, but the details of getting to it, that's where all the principles kick in. We practice them, and arrive at unity. So we always break down where it is, okay, we want love. Where do we start with love? Well, we start with love by starting looking at where we're not loving and not demonstrating love. And we know it when we're acting a certain way and we're not being considerate and compassionate to others, being humane to others. We know that's where we need to start, is where we're not practicing it. So that's a good analysis for each one to make. Is where am I not practicing love? And I'll start there. So we break down and get into the details about where to get started at with these premises, because it's very important for us to understand that we have to trust each other. And we have to trust each other because our integrity is lined up, and that we have the character like that, the lady, Dr. Flo, you vouch for it, I believe it. Because I know you're not that easy to please when it comes to the matter of the spirit. You might be deceived by what you see to a degree, but after you look closer and look beyond, you'll see the spirit and you'll discern, because discernment is what we have. We as overseers and onlookers from an overview of what's going on with our people, we have the ability to discern. And that's the power that we bring to these movements. We have ability to discern from an overview. And so you say yes, I say yes too, because we have to have somebody that we can trust to set the precedent for trust to be a continuum in our movement.
Ashe. We'll be right back.
Hey, man, you got your fishing pole?
Got my fishing pole.
Yeah, man, we going fishing.
Man, I ain't going no fishing, man. I got this strap. These streets is hot.
Hey, man, you need to call Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence at 916-889-0105. Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. It's brought to you by Wise Words with One Gone Show, and we can work it out in. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence. It's taking the guns out of our kids' hands and putting a rod and reel in them. We are located at 2251 Florin Road in South Sacramento. That's Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. Join the crew and save a kid. You know how we do.
So I woke up this morning, man, was ready to go to the schoolhouse and demonstrate some love with our young folks. And I thought about it. It's the holidays. Them jokers ain't even in school. And so, man, when you do something for so long, man, it feels good to you, man. You can't wait to get back at it. And I take my dear friend Marvell with me, and I know he know the feeling that them young folks give us when we enter them classrooms, the cafeterias, down the hallway. We can walk down the hallway and get nothing but love all the way down and high five, bump this, and the whole nine yards. So to all our young folks listening, we miss y'all, and we ask that y'all continue to be great individuals as you are. Marvell.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of the shortcomings to being out of town is that, or even being on vacation. Because see, we understand that we're gonna have to reestablish and rebuild the momentum when we get back. You know, and we have to reassert ourselves, in some areas to make sure that we bring back what got omitted for this period of time. But at the same time, it's a joy because they're gonna get back on point because we have set the precedent for them. We have stimulated them to look at themselves and make better decisions, and that's the beauty of it. They I think they recognize that, and that's what they respect about us is that we have that ability to get them to do a self-reflection. And it doesn't have to be a hardcore. It just has to be a matter of fact, like, oh yeah, okay. Oh, man, I hadn't even thought about that. Oh, well, thanks, man. I appreciate you bringing that to my attention because I hadn't even thought about that. And this is the type of response, for the most part, that we get, whether it be verbal or nonverbal. Their demonstration shows that they appreciate having the ability to get information to help them make different decisions on their own, not a decision made for them. One of the things I was going to ask the doctor was, does she understand the difference between having power and having influence? But I will dare to say, with your endorsement, Tim, I think she understands that influence is greater than power when it comes to our spirits, the people like us. Because power is one of the things that we become accustomed to, but I don't think we've ever really adjusted to it. Because our rebellion against power. Because when the police pull up on the kids, they're defiant, even though them man got guns. They're still defiant because they don't like power being thrust upon them. And they show that. Even me, I don't like it. When, somebody pull up on me with authority and all I see is their authority, I don't see nothing else. I don't see any character. I don't see no personality. I don't feel any charisma. I don't feel any I don't even feel like they're person to person. I feel like they're a power dealing with somebody that doesn't have any. And they flaunting it in my face. But when you have influence, people want to see you coming. When you have influence, people are interested in your perspective. When you have influence, people trust what you say or what you believe, just like she said. They may not like what she say, but they respect her for standing where she stands and knowing that it's going to take a lot of information and a lot of persuasion to get her to change her position. She ain't going to bend like a willow in the wind just because you got some money. So that's where we are.
when we bring this broadcast to the forefront, is that's what we're moving toward. We're moving towards you understanding that you can trust our integrity, you can trust our passion, you can trust our truth. And my truth might not be your truth, but believe us, our truth is our truth. And we're going to tell it to you, and hopefully you can concur that if you have one, you'll share it with us, and maybe we can find a way to work together with both truths put together. But our truth is our truth, and we believe what we're bringing. We believe that black lives matter. We believe that the spirit within every black person has the opportunity to demonstrate to make this world better. We believe that. And we got evidence to prove it.
I say. Well, I just want to add one thing to what's been said today. If you're not going to help along the way, get out the way. Because we don't need no dead weight. Because like I said, we're getting this ball rolling. And it's picking up some speed. I can see it already. It's fixing to happen. And I'm just proud to be a part of it. And I know that there's others out there that's proud to be a part of it. So like I say, you know, don't be a part of the problem. Be the solution. I digress.
Excellent. Yes, sir. I agree. I'm glad you, because, you know, Mark, he deserved it. I'm trying to be diplomatic. But, Mark, you deserved it. If you're not want to be a part of it, don't be around it. You know, don't be a hanger on around it. You know, just get out the way and wait your turn. Till you get whatever stimulation is necessary for you, do that. But don't kick dirt on it. Don't be a soothsayer. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Don't be any of that. Just stand back and wait till you get stimulated to participate, because it's for you too. It's like every time we vote for a president, he's the president. Whatever policy is going to benefit the people that supported and voted for him, those same policies benefit the people that didn't. That's how that works. So we're saying if you want to be a beneficiary and you don't want to participate, don't get in the way. Don't get in the way. Wait your turn until you feel comfortable to throw your hat in the ring. But until then, don't be blocking nothing. Get out the way and let this momentum grab you at the caboose, if that's where you want to jump on at. Because we're doing this. You know, we've been having challenges getting on this air. We ain't stopped. We're doing this. If we wasn't going to be aired here, we'd be aired elsewhere. We're looking at being not only aired but visualized, right? We want to be visible as well, because we're not stopping. We're doing this. We're doing this because it's time to get done. It's really that time for us. I don't know about anybody else, but for us, we're convinced that it's time to get this job done. So we're doing it.
I say. And so, hey, it's 5 minutes until the show is over. Please give your final remarks. I'm opening the whole board for those that are still left. If you'd like to say something, go ahead. I'm going to catch this call, and I'll talk to y'all.
Okay, we just got to keep on keeping on, my brother. And like I said, the support is there. We don't see it, but we got a lot of supporters out there, because we got a lot of people that want to see change. They want to see us change. And, you know, like we said, they want to see somebody doing something first. I used to be the same way, but now I know that I have to do. And so I'm going to have to do whatever ability I got. I mean, we got to put those abilities together, responsibility, dependability, accountability. And let's do this.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. Marvell?
Yeah. I'm going to reiterate what I say, and I'm going to continue to say, is that We can't keep on talking about this is the greatest country in the world when the people who were responsible to put this country in its position foundationally to become great are still being omitted. So until such time as that recognition has been expressed about my people, this is not the greatest country in the world, but it will be when that occurs.
And we talking about equity. That's what we talking about. We talking about equity. Make sure it's spread it around the board, across the board, for everyone. And us as a black community, I believe that now's the time for us to do what needed to be done since 1968. And that's stand and stop stooping over. Stand and believe in what the civil rights gave us. Stand and be accountable, responsible, and dependable. Stand on principles. Stand with your brothers and sisters, moving in the ways that will bring change for our future generations instead of the curses that are on our future's generation. Because they say it's a generational curse that we are up under. And I believe if we come together and move in God's love, I believe the change that they've been speaking about for 40, 50 years will come. With that being said, I'm going to give y'all the rest of y'all day. I appreciate you for listening in. Our host is the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. They call it Big Word Bell. So Big Word Bell, you keep on keeping up. They say if you ain't seen the dictionary, they say if you ain't seen it, you know I'm from the street. You know, God changed my life. I'd have been to the penitentiary. I'd have been in the world all my life. But once I got shot 5 times with one gun, I changed my life and said, God, have your way. Have your way with me. And so I'm learning from my big brother and my other brothers that are around me that you ain't always got to be hood ready, but you got to be ready for the hood. And so I'm ready.
Sam, I got one thing to say before we get off.
Go ahead on, man.
Man, let me tell you, I'm going to put it like this. Now, we just got through saying this ain't the greatest country in the world, but it's got some of the greatest people in the world. And I'm going to leave it at that.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That is right. That's right. That does. It's got some of the greatest people in the world. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So you know, when me and Marvell locked into each other, you know, it was a song that was played that he rode up on, and I said, oh, I got to know who that is playing that type of music. I'm a DJ, so I need to know who that is. And so I found out who he is, and we've been side by side on this ride. But I just want to say this. I don't wince when he called me his brother. I don't wince. I don't feel no type of way. You know, some of you jigaboos call me. And did I just say that? My mic on. When you call me brother and you're looking a certain way, I wince. I wince when you call me brother because you haven't healed yet, and I'm still healing. And so what I ask you to do, brothers and sisters, make sure you heal because healing is every day. With that being said, we out of here. Y'all have a good day. Peace and blessings. We out.
Ashe.